Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. Dusty Baker looks like he is likely going to be the manager of your Houston Astros. Bob Nightingale's running with it. He joined the show minutes after he broke that news. However, sources close to the team are saying it is not official yet. So take that for what it's worth. John McClain says he's already accepted that Dusty Baker will be the manager, though. Right, John?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll say as Bob Nightingale's covered in the NFL, Major League Baseball for a long time. He's a lead columnist for baseball at USA Today. And guys like that don't go with stories like that because they know it's going to be a national story. It's going to impact a lot of people, especially in Houston and Texas. And so I trust him when he goes with that. And I'm looking at some of the other national baseball people. And since they didn't have it, they're ignoring it. And after I listened to you guys coming over and you said you liked the move, I switched over to MLB radio, and they were praising the heck out of it. Their longtime people
mean.
On the air.
Pretty mean of you, John.
General managers. And I always want to know what those guys say about moves in Houston.
Hurting my feelings.
And they did it. Just they agree with y'all.
Yeah. And the other thing with Dusty Baker, not only is he safe, not only is he won.
That's a great word, safe
he's
in this
safe.
Situation.
Yeah, yeah, and he's likable. But I think he's one of those guys. Look, I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series next year. They could. They got the talent. But he's one of those guys that can take you through the lulls and the bad. He's seen it all. He's had some bad things happen in his life, man. You know, just controversies. Heck, as a player, you know, he dealt with a lot of racism, you know, when he was a young player. I'm just saying he's seen just about everything there is to see in the game, and that's important.
And the fact that he played 19 years and went to the World Series, I would think if players need to be counseled by a manager through this and considering the abuse they're going to get from fans and media all season, you know, Gray may need to hire a psychiatrist to have on the bench too because they haven't received that kind of abuse they're going to get now where everywhere
Never.
They go – they're going to be called cheaters and a lot worse because fans are so angry and because they're so good. You know, if they were bad, this would never been a controversy. And they're going to play with a big chip on their shoulder, and they need somebody steady in that chip. And Dusty Baker's, I can't imagine they could have gotten a better choice.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. Again, Dusty Baker looks like he's going to be the manager of the Giants. Other outlets are starting to run with it, but sources within the Astros are saying it is not official yet. But we'll take it to the bank as of right now that Dusty Baker will be the manager of the Houston Astros.
As you guys know, that usually means a guy has agreed. He and his agent have agreed.
It's a contract thing.
And they don't make it official until, number one, he's got to pass a physical, and then you have to work out a contract, and then they announce it. But I would hope that the players, they've gone against Dusty a long time. He was with the Nationals for his last 2 years, and he won the division both times and got fired, which I remember at the time because my wife having a Nationals season ticket package like she has with the Astros was paying close attention to it, and there was an uproar up there by a lot of people that he got fired after winning back-to-back division titles, but they obviously made the right move because Dave Martinez won a World Series. So I can't wait to see him get here, make it official. Get to spring training. I'm so fired up about the spring training this season to see what the Astros do under incredible pressure.
And also, I mean, he's seen everything, he's done everything, but he's still kind of hungry because he's never won a World Series. You know, he's been there, and he knows, as Nightingale was telling us, you know, he knows this is the, you know, this is the last shot right here to really solidify himself as a Hall of Fame manager.
It's not like he's being brought in to manage the Marlins. He's managing one of the most talented teams in baseball, probably second best right now to the Yankees along with the Dodgers. And if he wants to go out a winner, he's not going to get a better team to manage.
John McClain with us here, NFL Hall of Famer Dusty Baker. Looks like he's going to be the manager of the Houston Astros, according to Bob Nightingale. Astros have not confirmed yet. More movement for the Houston Texans. Apparently, Director of Player Engagement J.J. Moses has been fired by the club, as well as strength and conditioning slash coach performance therapist Billy Voltaire. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it's
John?
Voltaire.
And then assistant strength coach Jason George, executive assistant for football administration Eva Graham, and pro and college scouting administrative assistant Amber Davies. I mean, all these moves.
What the hell is going on, John?
This reeks, John. This reeks of clearing it up for a GM to bring his own guys. Surely, right? Like, this has to be a GM bringing. You're smiling
say
at
it,
me.
John,
you're
say
smiling
it.
At me.
Say it, John.
But tell me this.
Okay, Figgy,
tell me this is.
Figgy, start rolling on this.
Tell me Casario is bringing his guys. You're laughing at me. You're taunting me. You're making me upset here. Tell me this is Casario bringing his own guys, John.
The general manager and the assistant general manager, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, are firing these people, and there's a lot of moves made every offseason, but because Easterby has spent a year now and he's watched everybody, and O'Brien's given him a lot of authority, just like Cal McNair's made O'Brien a GM without the title. We're talking about secretaries, we're talking about third assistants, second assistants, and there's going to be moves that are going to make more.
What's the total number of people that are going to be pushed out this year?
No idea.
A dozen?
They have people moved out every year. You just don't hear about it.
What's going on over there?
Change.
But this change. I mean, there's change every year all around the league, but man.
The only big change they've made is Chris Olsen and Romeo Crennel.
I don't know. Strength guy's relatively important. Strength and trainer guy is pretty.
Well, they kept the head strength guy, and they've kept the head trainers.
Okay, but they lost some.
Jeff Kaplan, they dumped him during the season, moved him into another position, and promoted from within. So they've got the strength people they've had from the midway point of the season. And then the big thing they need is to decide who's going to negotiate contracts and get an outside linebackers coach. I think there's going to be other moves on the staff. They just haven't come out yet.
So did.
And personnel department, excuse me, it'd be stupid to fire people in personnel now because this is their busiest time of the season.
Yeah.
Because their contracts run out after the draft. So I would imagine after the draft, there will be more changes in the personnel department.
This seems like a lot of guys getting fired. You've done this longer than me. Does it seem like there's a lot of guys being canned?
You talking about the ones Aaron Wilson just reported?
Yeah. Is that normal for
yeah,
them?
Yeah,
that
that's normal. That's sure. Normal? They make changes in secretaries all the time. Now, those two had been there a long time, but when a new guy comes in like Easterby, he's going to watch, and he's going to want to bring his own people in there. And I would imagine that just about every hire is going to be somebody he knows or has worked with.
What is is Easterby overseeing everything?
He's assistant GM. O'Brien is the GM. The GM has to be over budgets, all those departments we're talking about. Everything is non-administrative, which is overseen by Jamie Roots. So if a guy is a head coach in charge of everything, he's got to have somebody doing all those things he don't want to do because he's focused on personnel. It's like Andy Reid, John Gruden, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, those guys all oversee personnel, and they have a general manager to do all those other things. In this case, he's got Easterby to do all those other things for O'Brien.
Can we just all of a sudden just start calling ourselves whatever we want to call ourselves in this world? His title is Executive Vice President for Team Development.
Well, they don't call themselves General Manager, Assistant General Manager.
Exactly.
I call them that because that's the authority
they
have.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
So am I like, what am I, czar of Sports Radio 610?
I mean,
can I just call myself that?
Go ahead and do that.
No, you shouldn't call yourself. You should let Landry do it.
Yeah, okay. I'll call you the czar. You
that would look bad
it's
if you said,
bizarre.
I'm in charge.
Who does it hurt? And what's the problem with putting a title on Bill O'Brien's name, head coach and general manager? How is that an issue?
I don't know.
What
you
about
have to
Jack
ask Cal McNair?
How come
you had him on Radio Row? I mean, on the red
carpet. I talked to him.
You could ask him.
I talked to him. I was trying to get him to come on. And what's the problem? What's the hindrance of Jack Easterby saying, "I'm getting the title Executive Vice President / Assistant General Manager"?
Well, that would
how
be,
is that an issue?
That would be up to Cal McNair. They can't call themselves that just because they perform those duties.
So
I can. You guys can.
Right.
So What is the Easterby? He's been kind of a man of mystery, and you're calling him the assistant GM, so I feel safe in asking.
And
this.
He may never get that title, but that's the duties that he performs for Bill O'Brien.
What would you say based on what you've seen? And I know that he was in meetings with Bill Belichick and stuff. I know he started out as a chaplain. What would you say based on what you've seen and based on everything you know about Bill O'Brien and the Texans that would cause Bill O'Brien and Cal McNair to trust Jack Easterby with these duties?
I think that when they hired him last year, they paid him a lot of money. A couple other teams were looking, trying to get him, and then he came in. He didn't get that kind of authority right away. You know, he had to earn his way into their trust, and he had to convince O'Brien he could handle things that Bill needs done. You know, it's just like you can't.
Can he call plays?
Maybe. You know, maybe they'll fire Cal McNair and they'll take over the team. But one thing I feel certain Easterby won't be doing is calling plays. He's got his fingerprints on every part of the personnel side of the organization. And he is, as I wrote, he's O'Brien's henchman.
I'm just so intrigued by him. I mean, he is a very, very motivational speaker. The resume speaks for itself. He's only 36 years old. Have you ever gotten to talk to him before?
Nope. I met him one time. That was it.
Golly, one time you're John McClain.
One time he walked by me in the hallway, didn't say anything. As he went by, I said, "Hey, Jack, how you doing?" He looked back and spoke, but that's it.
What'd he say?
Hi. Hello. I can't remember.
Was it?
Fine, thank you. Something like that.
Was it magical?
It was magical. I put in multiple requests to talk to him last offseason during the season, but he said he didn't want to talk. Now, he talked at the Super Bowl. And he was real good because you can Google the stories and see him commenting on a lot of things.
He
talked to the Patriots website one time, and that's on Google, and he was really good.
Yeah.
There's no doubt the guy can talk. It's just they want one voice, and that one voice is the head coach and general manager, Bill O'Brien.
So at Bill O'Brien's last press conference, I want to say it was 15 days ago or whatever, he said that they couldn't answer questions about the organization, but they would like to have a press conference at a later date to address that. Is that something that's going to happen maybe like as we get closer to camp? Is it draft? Like, do you have any idea when we might do that?
Because he better do it before he goes to the combine, because at the combine we get him in interviews and can ask him anything. You know, when I ask him stuff about him being in charge and what he's learned, I ask him how he's improved as a coach, and I say, "Well, how have you improved as a guy who oversees personnel?" And he won't admit he oversees personnel, but he does. He said, "We have a group and we reach a consensus."
Right.
They reach a consensus when Bill decides what he wants to do. He listens to these other people like Easterby and Matt Bazergan, the director of player personnel. At one point, he included Chris Olsen in that group, and he stopped the last two times he talked about
it. That was a sign, John.
Now we know why. And so at the league meetings, I'll be at that. He has to sit still for an hour at a coach's breakfast where we can ask him anything we want. So I would guess before we go to the combine, which is the end of February, once they finish all their moves, then Bill will address the media about those moves.
Okay. Well, your reaction, John, like you're sitting
there. I'm just dumbfounded. That's John McClain sitting across from us.
Is.
That is the guy.
That doesn't mean Jack squat.
It does, John.
I mean, to them.
You can be, well, I know, but you can be as humble as you want. But that is the guy that if you're going to be working in the city of Houston in professional football and John McClain asks you for an interview, you have to give him an interview.
Well, I've asked for Cal, too, and the only time he did it was at the league meetings last year. But I've never faced an organization, and I've covered 10 head coaches now, that was harder to deal with than the Texans are. And I had talked to Kubiak twice the last week for stories that I did, one involving him and one involving Kyle Shanahan. And Gary was on vacation, and he got back to me, and he couldn't have been nicer. And when he hung up, I'm like,
I miss those days. miss
of course, them. Gary's the most – of all the – coaches I've covered, Gary is the most honest.
Without question.
Yeah. When he was coaching and everybody wanted him fired because they couldn't get by the second round of the playoffs, and I've had people emailing me about Kubiak won't change because of his big ego, and I just It was all I could do to keep from saying, you are so totally clueless. I've never been around a coach who had less of an ego than Gary Kubiak.
And yeah, I totally agree.
And I'm happy for him and the Vikings. He you know, he's going to be their offensive coordinator, and he oversaw the offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, last season. And Gary, it's what I wrote last week. If he wanted to be a head coach, he'd be a head coach again. But he doesn't want to be a head coach. He's happy to be behind the scenes as a coordinator because he doesn't need the ego massage of being a head coach for a third time.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain for his weekly visit. Time to get world famous. We'll give you the latest on Dusty Baker as the Astros manager, and it's going to be world famous McClain leg hiking next. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Dusty Baker looks like he's going to be the manager of the Astros. We'll hear from Bob Nightingale, who broke the story, joined us a few minutes afterwards. Larry Durker going to join us at 11:35. But right now we're joined by NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. It is time for some world-famous leg hiking.
Last week I agreed with y'all so much I had to stop by the bathroom.
Yeah, you had to stop
today,
on the way home.
I would not have to do that.
Yeah, we can fix that.
All right, let's start with Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker, if he is the manager of the Astros, and we all believe that he is going to be, the Astros will win over 95 games this season.
Dude, you just stole mine.
I agree. I think the Astros are going to win more than 95 games, no matter who's managing them, because they got so much talent.
The Houston Texans will not re-sign, whatever, Bradley Roby.
I agree with that. I think Bradley Roby's going to go get a big money deal because he's still in his 20s. He missed a bunch of games last year, so he didn't have the wear and tear. So I agree.
Now listen to the question carefully. I'm not going to say they win more games. The Rockets play better basketball when Russell Westbrook and James Harden are not on the court.
I disagree because it's not just not going to happen other than needing rest. So who doesn't go to a game wanting to see those two guys play together?
I just said better basketball.
Yeah, so I was hiking.
Okay.
Jonathan Joseph will retire and not play again in the NFL.
I think he should, but I think he has been unequivocally strong and he wants to keep playing. So I'll say no, hike it.
The XFL will not last more than 2 years.
I agree with you.
Really?
I think it's going to be like 2 years. And they play next week, their first game, the Roughnecks, June Jones. And I hope people support them because I guarantee you're going to have a fun brand of football. They're going to throw it all over the place like June always does. Probably give up a lot of points. They'll be exciting. I'm going to the first game. I hope fans do too.
Carlos Correa will finally have the MVP-type season we've been anticipating.
Hike it. He's been hurt how many years in a row?
Every
year. Can't win MVP when you miss so many games getting hurt. He's got 2 years left on his contract to when they can control him, and it would behoove him, of course, to do that. But they've been legitimate injuries, and so I'll say no.
The NBA logo will become Kobe Bryant.
It's Jerry West now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be such an insult to Jerry West. Now, he probably would be happy to put it, let it be Kobe Bryant. But, man, oh, man, removing Jerry West. But there's so much out there about Kobe and what they want to do. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to say hike it. It's still going to be Jerry West.
J.J. Watt will end his career in Pittsburgh with his brother T.J.
Nope. J.J. Watt will end his career with the Houston Texans. Hike it.
The Cincinnati Bengals will draft Joe Burrow number one as reported.
Absolutely. Joe Burrow's going to Ohio.
Oh, wow.
I mean, to stay in his home state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. Even the Bengals can't screw that up. Now, they may screw him up as a quarterback, but they're not going to screw up the pick.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain, world famous leg hiking. The NBA should change the logo to Kobe instead of Jerry West.
Well, we just hit that, but that's not a problem at all.
Hike it a second time.
Yeah.
Hike it on me for that.
All right. Philip Rivers is going to be the next quarterback of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Who he moved to Florida with his family. He's from North Carolina. Jay Glazer has reported he's out. The Chargers, Ian Rapoport reports that hasn't been determined. And maybe it hasn't been determined, but Jay Glazer doesn't break a lot of stories, but when he does, they're right.
Yeah.
I remember when he said the Giants are considering trading Odell Beckham Jr. I thought he was nuts. Everybody did, and then he went to Cleveland. So, Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, they have to make a decision. They're not going to sign Jameis Winston to a long-term deal. The alternative is to sign him as a – put the franchise tag on him. Boy, if Buccaneers, I'll say hike it, because if Rivers is a free agent.
I think it's a chance, though. I think it's a chance.
There's several teams, I believe, that would be interested in him.
The Super Bowl should be on Saturday, not Sunday.
Well, it'd be Super Saturday. Nope, hike it. It's got to be on Sunday.
Doesn't it make more sense?
Nah, it's too much like college.
Yeah, but you still have the two-week break, you know, as far as like, you know, for, in preparation and such.
People have things to do on Saturday that they got to run
errands. Watch the Super Bowl.
But I think the fact it's on Sunday, they've gone to the grocery store and gotten gas and all those things on Saturday. So, no, stays on Sunday.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. What are your favorite Super Bowl memories? I'd be hard-pressed if I didn't ask you that. We are a few days away from the big game.
Appreciate you doing that. Since I've got them on Texas Sports Nation, one a day began yesterday. We were in San Diego, media day. Everybody wanted to talk to the loquacious 49ers offensive tackle Bubba Paris. And Bubba's a great talker, and he's talking, and several times in there he mentioned about God. And one of the writers said, Bubba, have you become religious? And he said, I have. And they said, well, when? He said, well, he told a story. I went to a bar. I picked up a woman, went back to my place. We were having sex, and God spoke to me. And everybody's like, whoa. Everybody got real interested.
How does that make him any different from everyone else?
And somebody said, what did God say? And he said, you're a sinner, Bubba. And somebody goes, God called you Bubba. He said, yeah, that's what everybody's been calling me since I was a kid. And so he said, then we wanted all the details. And he said he stopped
everybody
that minute.
Calls me Bubba.
Left her hanging. And God told him he had to cut out all the fornication and everything else he was doing. And at 4:30 in the morning, he called a teammate who was religious and said, I need to see you fast. And people thought it was not true, but it was. He became an ordained minister, and he still is. And one of the other ones I wrote about in Miami, since I have two from Miami, but one was the Overtown riots, in which a cop had shot an African American who was fleeing another cop on a motorcycle with another guy. Both were killed. It ignited 3 days of riots in Overtown and Liberty Hills section of Miami, and it was, of course, you can imagine, a huge story. While the Super Bowl week was going on, and Ray Buck from the Houston Post and his wife Mary had been out to dinner, they took a wrong turn. They felt something hit their rental car, and they get back to the hotel and figure they better look at it, and they find a bullet hole in it. And I never asked Ray, how'd you explain that to the rental car people? And the other thing, Solomon Wilcox, defensive back for the Bengals, who's on NFL Network and NFL.com, he said that somebody said, what'd y'all do last night? And he said, well, a bunch of us went to see a movie, Mississippi Burning. It was big at the time.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He said, then I came back to my hotel room and saw Miami burning. And I'll never forget that and everything that went on at that game. And then, of course, John Taylor caught the winning touchdown pass from Joe Montana to beat the Bengals 20-16, capping a 92-yard drive with 34 seconds left.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. John, what's coming up in the Chronicle? We're going to see on Facebook Live.
Yes, you are. I'm headed over with Chronicle now to do Facebook Live, and I'd ask everybody, check out my podcast I'm doing on Super Bowl memories. And I've got a story on Kahale Waring and the tight ends. I'll have one tomorrow on the pass rushers I talked about. And then the special teamers, how we talked earlier about they need to find a better return man. Thank you guys very much.
All right, man.
Thank you very much. I apologize for my brain fart, OG. It happens.
That's all right. It happens. There's a lot going on.
Hike it again.
Hike it on Landry.
Hike it on me for that. Larry Durker, the Astros legend, he's going to join us. He's going to talk about what he thinks about Dusty Baker being the next manager for your Houston Astros. That according to Bob Nightingale, who joined the show minutes after reporting that. Astros, it should be noted, are saying it is not official yet, but it could be as soon as the show ends. We're going to play the hits. We're also going to hear from Larry Durker, as well as Tyrann Mathieu, Richard Sherman, and the most hated man in baseball is defending Jose Altuve. You'll hear that next. All right, Dusty Baker is going to be the next manager of your Houston Astros, according to Bob Nightingale. Astros sources are saying it's not official, but as soon as it is, and we expect it to be, we will give you the latest and greatest. You'll also hear from some other insiders throughout the show. Joining us now, an Astros legend, a man that really needs no introduction, Larry Durker. Joining the show, Mr. Durker, your immediate reactions, John Lopez, Landry Locker, your immediate reactions to Dusty Baker being named the replacement for A.J. Hinch?
My first reaction was surprise. Just basically because Dusty is an old school kind of guy and the Astros have been a high-tech sort of team. And I don't know if he's up to speed on all the things that A.J. Hinch was using, but whatever A.J. was using was working pretty well, and I think all the winning they've done over the course of his tenure has been based on just good baseball and not cheating. So I'm a little surprised, but on the other hand, I'm also optimistic,
right?
Because he's had winners before, and we have talent. So just because you're an older guy and seem to be old school as opposed to compared to the new age, I won't be a bit surprised if they keep winning.
Well, Larry, you managed against him, and one of the things that I feel was a big selling point for Dusty is he's very accustomed to a team that's in the middle of a lot of a big media circus, obviously with the Barry Bonds thing, and the steroids hanging over his head. So I'm thinking that might be something that he can handle quite well with this Astros club, given the scrutiny that they're going to be under.
Yeah, I think he can. You know, one of the things that about his style is that it's very player friendly, and I mentioned that because when Kurt Van Wering came over to the Astros, I was broadcasting at the time, but he couldn't say enough nice things about Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really that common for players to be thrilled with their manager. So that said a lot to me. And given his personality, and I've known him for a really long time, I don't think he's going to have too much of a problem with the media. He's been there and done that.
Mm-hmm. What about his style? You talk about his managerial style and that it was a little bit of a surprise because he wasn't an analytics guy. But what is that style? You know, you and I have seen it, but you've been very, very close to him. What about it is unique?
Well, I think his style was basically traditional when I was managing against him.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a guy like Don Zimmer that would hit and run with the bases loaded or any crazy stuff like that. It was just basically good, solid baseball, but that's baseball during that era, which is different than it is now. I know if I were back in the dugout, and I have no desire to do that, but if I were back there again, I would employ shifts,
mm-hmm.
even though I didn't when I was managing, because I didn't really come to realize how effective they are until I watched it for a few years. So is Dusty going to do that? I don't know.
Larry Durker joining the show here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, reacting to the news, the report by Bob Nightingale that Dusty Baker will be the next manager of the Houston Astros. As far as the scrutiny that the Astros are going to go through, Dusty Baker seems like there hasn't been much that hasn't seen in regards to baseball. If you were making the decision, would you have selected Dusty Baker? You said it was a surprise. Based on all the candidates, who would Larry Durker have hired as the next Astros skipper?
You know, I don't even know who the candidates were. I haven't been paying that much attention to it. So I think I'm not sure who I would apply. I heard Buck Showalter's name come up, and I don't think I'd go that direction. If it's just a bunch of veteran managers, I would pick Dusty. But if there were a young up-and-coming guy who is sort of on the cutting edge of all the analytics, I would consider him. But I don't know who that would be.
Larry, you know, obviously you were a very people-friendly, media-friendly, player-friendly manager. How would you handle what the Astros, and I know you just said you're not inclined to manage again, but so just your opinion, how would you handle what the Astros are, the scrutiny that the Astros are going to be under this year?
I don't know. I would probably just make fun of it in spring training and say, hey, you guys did win all these games with by cheating. You won all these games by hitting, pitching, fielding, and being focused and being ready. So that's all we're going to do. You know, if you want to talk to the writers about that, go ahead. If you don't, just say no comment. We're just here to play baseball.
All right, Larry Durker joining the show here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Mr. Durker, appreciate you for joining us and reacting to the news that Dusty Baker will be the next manager of the Houston Astros.
All right, guys.
All right,
Durk. Have a good show.
Thank you, Dirk.
That's Larry Durker. Appreciate the encouragement, man. Going down the second
half.
He's a
world-famous broadcaster, too.
Let's now play the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. 49ers tight end George Kittle. He told Justin Reed to hold his beer. That wasn't a direct quote, but this is what George Kittle has been doing since 2018. He has been playing with a torn labrum. Sound familiar? Justin Reed did that all this season, but apparently Kittle had the injury in a 2018 preseason game. He said that he dislocated his shoulder last year and his labrum is completely torn. He didn't get the surgery on it because he says that he cannot afford to miss the workout days.
That's
one
just
of the most meatheadish things I've ever heard.
And I don't know if I completely believe if it's torn, the Niners are going to make him have surgery or would have made him have surgery, right? Just because you want to keep playing, you want him at. I think he probably did this. Obviously, he did dislocate his shoulder, but is it something that's truly torn, the labrum? I don't know. I'd like a little more information on that.
Tyrann Mathieu, he was talking about the difference between the honey badger and Tyrann Mathieu. Went a little bit of third person. This was yesterday at Super Bowl opening night. Here's the honey badger talking about his multiple personalities.
I think the honey badger is just this guy that, right, shows up when the lights come on. And I think Tyrann is who I am every day, right? Even when I'm the honey badger, right? He's this guy that's personal. He's passionate. You know, he loves people that stand with him, next to him. And I'm proud of Tyrann, you know, because Tyrann is who he is. He accepts himself for who he is. And, you know, I think he understands he don't have to be anything but Tyrann.
So was he the honey badger at the podium, or was he Tyrann? Was he talking about himself? Was he saying he was proud of himself? What was going on there, John?
Tyrann is proud of Tyrann is what he said, basically, right there. I'm through trying to figure this guy out.
But, I don't know where to start. Yeah. Richard Sherman yesterday, cornerback for the 49ers, already won one Super Bowl, looking for that second. Post-torn Achilles, Kobe Bryant once tore his Achilles. Richard Sherman said Kobe Bryant was motivation for him recovering from the injury, and he said Kobe Bryant's going to be motivation when he takes the field on Sunday looking for that second ring.
I guess the biggest Mamba mentality moment of my career was getting up from a torn Achilles and walking off the field. I saw him do it, and once I tore mine, I knew I had to walk off. This morning I was kind of down, I was in the dumps, and then I just thought about what he would tell me, you know what I mean? He would tell me to stop being a baby and man up and play it and do it in his honor and win this game for him, you know, and that's what we're going to try to do. You know, I'm going to go out there and try to play some dominating ball just like he won it. You know, the Mamba mentality still lives on.
I believe it. I think, you know, not to dig back into the Kobe show that we had yesterday, but I think he affected that many people, you know, and Sherman is in the wheelhouse, you know. I think it meant a lot to Richard Sherman that Kobe, you know, inspired him, and I think he will inspire him.
I mean, Sherman's an L.A. guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he grew up on Kobe, so you got to believe that, and I think he's absolutely right. Kobe would tell you to shut the hell up and get back out there. I don't think there's any doubts about that. The man many people in baseball, including Astros fans, passionately have hated at one time or another is passionately defending Jose Altuve. Now, he might have reason to do so because Jose Altuve's made him a little bit of money, but Scott Boras, known as the evil Satan in baseball, was tracked down at the airport by TMZ, and he was asked about the electronic device, you know, the electronic device that Jose Altuve allegedly wore, and this is what Scott Boras had to say.
There's so much
nothing
talk
to any form of electronic dynamic
You don't believe it?
That the commissioner's office studied it. Everyone knows it. No one in the game has ever contended that anyone is doing such a thing, and that's just mere innuendo and suspicion.
So you don't believe that then?
Not only it's not factual, it's just in the end.
But if you're a Dodgers fan or a Yankees fan, you really do have to kind of be upset, especially with, you know.
I think everybody's upset about things that are determined to violate the integrity of the game. However, the rule makers of the game and the people have to examine that we brought technology to this game. The technology got near the field.
So the players shouldn't be touched. So that's kind of the
players don't make rules. The players follow the rules that are dictated by her.
Should AJ Hinch ever be allowed to manage again?
I don't think anybody in this game has to be looked at in a way that we had a progressive gray area. Everyone had to adapt to it. When there are not rules, when there are not rules that are specifically defined the conduct, then it's hard for anyone to assess anyone's specific behavior,
of course,
because no one really knows until they have a defined rule.
It's a little bizarre because he said, he basically said it's not factual and that never happened and it's unreasonable to believe, but MLB did investigate it. They said they just didn't find any credible evidence of the electronic buzzers and all that, you know, so that means that they just couldn't get the, you know, the evidence, if you will.
The weird thing to me, though, like when you talk about that is, like, I don't want to have like a straw man argument, but just hear me out on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the most passionate of passionate Astros fan who doesn't want to believe anything in the report. They
right.
just they question the report. They question the punishment. They question all that. Again, I don't have like a specific person to point to, but it does seem like that group of people that yeah. are speaking out against the report and speaking out against the punishment
mm-hmm.
will then come out and say, "Well, in the report it says
yes,
that they didn't find
the
that
report."
It's like, I thought you said the report was garbage, mm-hmm. but now all of a sudden I'm supposed to believe what's in the report.
Selective facts, alternative facts, if you will. That's a great point. A lot of people just going to believe what they want to believe, even in the MLB report.
You just got to move on. You just got to move on if you're an Astros fan. You're really not going to go on the internet and convince all the jackasses, you know, what to believe. People go on the internet just with the sole purpose of trying to stir stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, they're just miserable people are going to stay miserable. So if you're trying to fight that fight, it's not a fight that is winnable. Nolan Ryan, MLB legend Nolan Ryan, formerly an employee of the Houston Astros in different capacities, spoke with Mark Berman the other day, and he was asked about why he will no longer be a member of the Houston Astros organization.
No, as it stands now, I'm not associated with the organization anymore.
Can you tell us what happened, Nolan, why that is the case?
Well, Jim had said to Reed, I guess your dad won't be involved anymore. And so I said, well, that's fine. You know, I didn't have a problem with that.
Are you disappointed in the way this is fleshed out?
Well, I'm disappointed in the fact that the fallout that we've had and some of the people that have lost their jobs, you know, I really feel bad for them because I think they've done a good job.
He's not, he wasn't like bitter, but you could tell there was a little bit of an edge to Nolan Ryan right there. Hey, I'm not a part of that. It's just, he got out of there. He got out of there as soon as he could. By the way, remember that little kid you were talking about that was carried?
Dusty Baker's son.
Darren Baker.
I tweeted out at Landry Locker is when Dusty was in the World Series. Darren Baker almost got ran over by JT Snow, I believe it was.
Yeah, and he picked him up, and little Darren was patting him on the shoulder like, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Well, now he's a baseball player at California University.
Okay. What's he saying? Is he tweeting?
He just tweeted out a picture of Alex Bregman screaming into the sky in jubilation.
That is the confirmation we needed.
That might be all the confirmation you need, that's Dusty's son tweeting out that famous GIF or whatever you want to call it, of Alex Bregman.
Speaking of Alex Bregman, he's now engaged. He proposed in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
so we don't know what kind of swagger Alex Bregman's going to have, given the cheating allegations, and now he is engaged. So congrats to Alex Bregman. Rockets win in Utah last night. No Westbrook, no Harden, no Capella. They lost 5 of 6. Utah was the third best home team in the NBA. They've won 19 of 21 games. However, the Rockets win 126-117. Season high 21 for Austin Rivers. 50 for Eric Gordon. 50. Half a hundo. 5-0 for Eric Gordon. Here's Mike D'Antoni on the win.
I thought our guys couldn't have played harder, couldn't have played. You know, obviously you make mistakes in the game, but big play after big play after big play. You know, they came back a couple times, but we just kept going back at them. And obviously Eric Gordon was out of his mind tonight. That's a great performance.
Speaking of Eric Gordon, here's Eric Gordon on hanging half a hundo.
We just played our game. You know, when you play within the flow of the game, you're going to get good shots. And everybody contributed, and that's why it made things a lot easier.
His voice reminds me of someone.
Really?
Play Eric Gordon again. It's Russell Wilson's voice.
We just played our game. You know, when you play within the flow of the game, you're going to get good shots. And everybody contributed, and that's why it made things a lot easier.
What about him saying when you play within the flow
the game? I'm getting there.
When you play within the flow of the game.
In other words, who would have thunk it? Real basketball. Passes, screens, cuts, ball movement.
There's a little bit more flow.
Not wrong. That's why I was only half kidding with John McClain, basically because I wanted him to hike his leg because he seemed like he wanted to. But I didn't say they're better when Russell Westbrook and James Harden aren't on the floor. I said they play better basketball. Would you agree?
I would agree.
At least for one game sample size.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Can you allow me, or I want to actually set the table for you to rant.
A rant? You're going to get me going?
I don't know if I'm going to get you going. I might get myself going because there's just a lot of dumb people in the world. And I was talking to Seth about this, and I love everybody. I'm dumb myself, so I'm obviously looking in the mirror when I say this, but I'm not as thirsty as some of the cats these days. And Seth, I was talking to Seth yesterday. And he said the worst thing about social media is you learn how many stupid people truly exist. And yesterday we were remembering the life and times of Kobe Bryant, and a video was posted publicly of us just basically remembering Kobe. I think you talked about how your sons looked up to him. I talked about how he was polarizing. You had to pick a point. And I got a message from somebody, and I just wanted to read this message to you, and I just want you to tell me what you think of it. Here is the quote. It is a reaction to the Kobe Bryant stuff. On the Sports Radio 610 Facebook page, on a Sports Radio 610 Facebook video.
Okay.
I must add. We're going to hear, by the way, we're going to hear from a guy closer to the Astros than anybody. We'll also hear from Bob Nightingale amidst the Dusty Baker hiring in the noon hour. So have some lunch with us here on In the Loop. But here's the quote. Quote, the death of his 13-year-old daughter that is now going to miss out on things like homecoming, prom, first day of college, first real boyfriend, first real job, walking down the aisle. That's the real tragedy. Also, there were seven other people that lost their lives in that helicopter besides Kobe and his daughter. Were their lives so insignificant? Kobe led a privileged life since the age of 16 or so. What about the people that die every day in this country that never got to experience 1/1000th of what Kobe experienced in his lifetime? All just because he was great at playing a child's game? Yeah, it's sad. There's lots to be, quote, sad. There are a lot of, quote, sad things in life. Let's stop trying to paint this man as being a god already.
All right. You are going to get me going because this is stupid. I was going to say dumb, but it's stupid.
In the context, it's the most moronic.
Here's the bigger point, because we've gotten even a couple of those texts. You know, seven other people died. Yes, but you would not have known those seven other names had Kobe not been on that helicopter, Kobe and his daughter. People like, you know, y'all are ignoring the other seven. You wouldn't even know that it happened. If the, you know, helicopter goes down in California, you'd be like, all right, you know, pass the gravy. You know, whatever. But helicopter goes down with Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi in California. And then after that happens, I never not saw the other names, victims' names. They're everywhere. And they were on television. Obviously, the former U of H player was given memorials, you know, and now he's coaching. He was coaching at a junior college. If you're upset about, if that makes you upset, I can't help you. You're a miserable human being. If that's what makes you upset, you are a miserable person getting mad that these other people aren't getting the notoriety when you wouldn't even have known it happened.
I just can't believe like the most foolish people now try to preface their stuff to try to sound smarter by accompanying it by fake misplaced morals.
Yeah.
It just drives me nuts. There's just a bunch of whistleblowers. But think about this. You went on a sports page, you clicked on a sports talk show video, and you said that the sports people were focusing too much on the sports people.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, when John Lennon died, did you, like, call in the rock station or something like that and tell them that a lot of people died and they're focusing on John Lennon? Like, if you're talking with your buddies and stuff, maybe there's some context there, but just quit being so thirsty, man. Like, you're not as smart
but
as
but
you
that
sound.
Guy that just like, just that why in. Are y'all ignoring these other people? First of all, they weren't ignored. It's all over much more than had Kobe not been on that helicopter. And secondly, you're just miserable.
It's just weird.
You're a horrible, miserable person.
Really, really strange that there are people like that. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. Dusty Baker, the next manager of your Houston Astros. We're going to hear from a guy closer to the Astros than anybody. We're going to hear from Bob Nightingale, who broke the news. And we're also going to talk about the Texans. The Super Bowl is on Sunday. We're going to do a Texans Super Bowl roster exercise. You can trade anyone for someone in the big game that plays their same position. How many Texans survived that exercise? We'll discuss next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.